We're going to take the next item out of order. We're going to go to item number 10, which is the progress and recommendations of the Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Task Force. And I apologize, but that was my fault. I was being overly optimistic and asked the members that were going to be doing the presentation here this morning to be here at 10. And I know the time is very valuable. Many of them are not the Washoe County employees, and especially Mr. Carlson here, who made his way to the table. So the committee could please indulge them, and we will go on now to item number 10. Madam Clerk, please call item number 10.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the progress and recommendations of the Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Task Force. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. Good morning, Ms. Lucy.
Good morning. With me today,
Ms. Lucy at the table is Pete Carlson from Aurora, who is his forever present co-chair on the Mental Health Redesign Committee.
And Pete, do you want to just say your title, please?
Thank you. I'm Vice President and Chief Executive Officer for Aurora Behavioral Health Services.
So we come to you today with a report out from our action teams to remind everyone the Mental Health Redesign and Implementation Task Force was created by this committee and approved by the board in July of 2011. We've come back once to talk about our progress. And today we come back to describe the recommendations that have been made by the task force. We have divided our task force by having action teams, and we purposely chose the phrase action teams because, as we know, people were feeling a little bit fatigued with some of the reports and wanted to see could we get some action. Each of our action teams were developed by nominations from our redesign task force, and there were some self-nominations as well. The teams were co-chaired to demonstrate our partnership, and a sincere effort was made to make sure that individuals with the lived experience, otherwise could be sometimes called consumers, were involved at all levels, including leadership, and that we had representation from all aspects of the community. The action teams were asked to do a couple of things. They were asked to look at the key areas of the redesign to prioritize and to select recommendations for each of the areas. The five action teams are person-centered care, continuum of care, community linkages, workforce, and quality. As previously reported, we have had some difficulty in making sure that we have enough diversity in our committees and look forward to working with people such as Supervisor Harris to add additional individuals as we have said we would be glad to do. When I first came back to the county in March, there were numerous reports that had been discussed. We looked at the recommendations that came from six of those reports and realized that those reports generated 120 recommendations. Each of those recommendations were categorized and assigned to one of the action teams for review. Some of the recommendations were consistent with each other. Some were a matter of wordsmithing. Some had the same concepts but were slightly different. Still others were in direct conflict. The action teams were asked to review those recommendations. They were asked to say which of them they felt continued to be pertinent, as we recognize that some things have changed. There's a new state administration. Other types of things have occurred. And also they were asked to say what was missing. Thus, the task force was very inclusive of all the work, and as was my goal when we worked with Supervisor West and others to create this task force, then we can put to rest some of those reports and move forward in a synchronized manner. The action teams have had over 20 meetings since early October, and they've continued to meet. It involved over 90 participants and from over 40 public and private entities. The participants have included service providers, advocates, consumers, administrators, and various other individuals. We timed the committees a little bit, so some of the committees were started earlier, particularly person-centered care, continuum of care, and community linkages. Some of the others, workforce and quality, actually need the work of the first committees in order to move forward. All of the action teams reported out on December 8th at our meeting. What we'd like to do now is to have each of the action team co-chairs give you a brief review of their action team's work and some of their key recommendations. So, and Mr. David Johnson is here. Mr. Johnson is a member of my staff who has been staffing this process. So I'll let you introduce people and keep things rolling. Sit here.
Okay, let me skip this slide ahead. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the board, and members of this committee for your support of this process so far. It's been quick. I've been impressed with how eager people have been to take time out of their already busy days and to contribute their talents to this when I know there are lots of other things to be doing. I also want to thank Mr. Carlson and Ms. Luzzi for their leadership of this. It wouldn't be nearly the product that it is without them. I especially want to thank the consumers, providers, administrators, and advocates who have been a part of this. Like I say, most people have full-time commitments elsewhere, and so to give this the way that they have has been really impressive to me. The reports that you have in front of you and what you're about to hear is the culmination of a lot of many hours of consideration and consensus building. As Ms. Luzzi said, these recommendations were diverse, sometimes conflicting, sometimes supporting each other, but they were all very thoughtful and a lot of research went into them, so a lot of consideration had to go into prioritizing these for implementation and this redesign. One thing that I noticed about this is that the work that these teams did and the reports they put together affirm many of the initiatives and changes that are already underway at BHD and elsewhere, and so it's been encouraging to see things happening while we're doing this work. And I know everyone in these groups is eager to take the next step, and so with that, I want to welcome Peter Huffle, who's the one of the action team co-chairs of the person-centered care team. Not everyone's able to make it today, and so I want to thank those who were able to.
All right. Thank you. It's my understanding that you've got a larger packet of all this information, so I'm just trying to be short and sweet. My name is Peter Huffle. I'm the executive director of NAMI Greater Milwaukee's National Alliance on Mental Illness, and co-chaired this with Beth Barraza, who's a certified peer specialist. I want to thank all the county staff and for all of you and for all of the people that worked on this. We had a lot of consumers, advocates, county staff, and from Behavioral Health Division, and I think it was a really good group of people that really looked at all of the recommendations and sort of came up with what we thought were our key points. So quickly, I also know there's some definitions that I think are attached to our initial work, because some of the language that we use in here, we all toss around, like recovery and person-centered and trauma-informed care, and it may be self-explanatory, but we did include some definitions, so we're all on the same page with that. So our first is to incorporate principles of person-centered recovery and trauma-informed care. The importance of that is in policies and procedures, training and services at all levels. So we hope that person-centered recovery and trauma-informed care and a true understanding of that is actually developed in all of our services, in our policies when people are applying for funding contracts, that's looked for, that they actually have staff that are trained in trauma-informed care and person-centered recovery, to increase training that exists now. Next is independent living and informed choice. Independent living, recovery in the least restrictive setting, not only is that sort of a law, it is a law, but what's important about this is informed choice is that we've got currently in a lot of parts of our system, we've got choice one, or maybe choice one and two. And I think that, informed choice is actually having more choices. And I think there's a lot of examples that are going on right now that shed light on that. It's like, for instance, now that Behavioral Health Division, that what used to be the walk-in clinic, now the access clinic, people can actually get there, not a waiting line, but there's actually expanded hours where people, that's a little bit more informed choice, that you don't have to be there at 6 in the morning. You can actually show up at 10 or 11 and still get service. Consumers welcomed in full collaborative partners, expert in their own lives. As we look at the research, when people actually are aware, when they're doing well, and they actually are a partner in their treatment, they actually accept their role and responsibility in their treatment and can recover much better that way. Utilize peer expertise more fully. That's the use of peer certified peer specialists, which is happening at a much larger level now throughout our system, which is great, but we need more of it. Aid consumer we can use peer specialists to, you know, aid consumers in navigating between levels, access point, increase participation and satisfaction. Community-wide education, this is something that was sort of touched on in all of the reports that we were given in recommendations, but we realized as an action team that as a community and as a county, we need to do this much better level of increasing this, because we find, you know, children, schools, daycare providers, foster care, is there enough education to detect, you know, early signs of mental health issues? Is it that we have a system where, you know, people are coming in when they're already in crisis? And I know some of the reports have shown that, but I think we do just need to really realize that there needs to be a much better, you know, outreach, education, normalization of seeking mental health services at all of our levels of care in our system. You know, this will, of course, reduce stigma and promote recovery in our community. You know, all too often at our office, we get people that, you know, they come in when there's already a crisis. You know, their parents call and their child's 18 or 19 and they have their first break. And there was early warning signs. You know, they were kicked out of school. They were having trouble in some of their after-school programs. But there was nobody actually making sure that, you know, this child felt comfortable reaching out for services. Expand application of comprehensive continuous integrated systems of care. Easy to say. That's the CCISC that has been brought here by Drs. Minkoff and Klein. And there's, geez, I'm not sure how many agencies are involved, but it's talking about the focus is actually getting us all as providers to be able to handle people that have co-occurring both mental illness and AODA and other disabilities as well. It's too often times people are siloed until they have to go over here or over there because they've got one or another co-occurring issue at the time. It's in Milwaukee. It's called the MC3, which is Comprehensive Community Cadre or something. I don't know the exact term for that. But the importance of that is everybody that's on that has signed on. Now there's been a charter where people have signed on as agencies. They go through an assessment tool of their agency that shows that they're actually able to meet these person-centered and welcoming and competent services to be able to provide, if not the service for somebody, a guided referral so they can actually get the service that they came for instead of just saying this is the wrong door. So that sums up what I've got. Thanks.
Peter's co-chair, Beth Ann Barazin, is a consumer advocate and a peer specialist at Our Space. She's not able to join us today because she's actually working with Dr. Minkoff on the Milwaukee Co-Occurring Competency Cadre, or MC3. So that's where she's at today and doing good work elsewhere. Two other co-chairs who are unable to join us today are from the Continuum of Care team, which is, I think, had some of the more robust discussions of the action teams, and they met several times and could probably talk for another couple of years about the issues. And so to get to where they got and to coalesce around this this vision statement they have in front of you and to reach that consensus was an impressive feat, I think. And they'll benefit a lot from the upcoming summit with the Human Services Research Institute, who are coming to join us and offer some technical assistance and advice on moving forward and turning that consensus into concrete action steps for the coming year. The co-chairs of that team were Lee Carroll from Healthcare for Homeless and Mary Neubauer from Community Advocates. They were both elsewhere, and so I'll do what I can, but I can't possibly do justice to the good work that they've done that's fleshed out further in the report in front of you. Basically, what it came down to was the need to expand and sustain community-based services, which is something this group's talked about a lot already, and the county board has shown support for in the funding they've given to the expansion of community-based services in this year's budget. Increasing availability and accessibility of outpatient services, which is happening already through the change of the walk-in clinic at BHD. Apply evidence-based practices and offer geographically diverse access points, making sure that people are served in their communities instead of having to travel far. Moving on from there, responsible downsizing and discharge. The team talked a lot about recommendations to discharge inpatient care, which is a priority, but it has to be done responsibly. It has to be done in such a way that people are going to remain stable in their communities and are going to have the services they need and the support they need to stay in their communities. That involves adequate community services and supports for both mental illness and developmental disability, as well as dual diagnoses, planning and follow-up for inpatient discharges into the community, collaboration among stakeholders to reduce unnecessary admissions, and facilitate timely discharge when people are ready to move on from inpatient care. There's a lot of overlap between the continuum of care topics and the community linkages group, which is coming up next. And so I'm going to defer mostly to Jim Matthey and Christina Finnell, who will be coming up after me, and they'll talk a little bit about the enhancing crisis services to reduce emergency detention. So without further ado, Jim Matthey from the Special Needs Housing Division and Christina Finnell from Mental Health America.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. I'm going to start with the beginning of the presentation. I just want to briefly publicly recognize David Johnson for all the work he did. This was a tremendous process and a lot to keep all these groups going and organized, so I just wanted to recognize the work that he did there. So Christine and I did the Community Linkages Committee. So we'll start with our recommendations, and we tried to get as specific as we can to get some concrete goals to move forward. First thing we looked at is expanding crisis resources. Again, one of the goals of community linkages is to try to improve discharge planning and get to folks in a prevention method before they reached the mental health complex or private hospitals. So we looked at increasing mobile crisis teams specifically that were community-based to try to improve response times and lead to less inpatient stays. The other thing we talked about, which is kind of a specific goal, and it actually relates to quite a bit of the recommendations we have, is the idea of a community intervention specialist. And what that is it would be a new position that would work with private hospitals, work with the jail, and work with homeless shelters to improve discharge planning much earlier in the process than our system does now. And I think after talking to various shelter providers, private hospitals, it's something that really doesn't exist now. A lot of the homeless shelters don't have the clinical staff to be moving people throughout the system as maybe they should. So this position would be specifically to work with those organizations in the community. We think it would make a big difference, especially with a jail, by doing quicker discharge planning. Again, with improving discharge planning, establishing a clearinghouse of current, accurate, accessible information. Again, we feel that we do better discharges if everybody had all the information in one spot, whether it's one agency or two agencies. Everybody seems to have their area of expertise, but everybody in our community is kind of split, and there's no central clearinghouse of information that would lead to better discharge planning. Again, the idea of the intervention specialist can be found throughout our recommendations. Next area is to expand supportive housing options. Due to leadership of the county board, we've done quite a few supportive housing units since the housing division was created. We'll be up to about 450 by the end of this year, but we still have tremendous waiting lists for all the developments that we have. So we're continuing to recommend that we work to continue to do more supportive housing under the blended management approach, which is using a very experienced real estate developer with an experienced social service provider and coming together as a team using their separate expertise. So we'd like to continue that. Maximize public dollars to attract gap financing. We've been successful as a county doing that with the previous housing trust fund. So our group is recommending that we continue attempts to try to help developers, help service providers with gap financing as we had in the past. We also discussed the downsizing of CBRF beds and develop a step-down model. Our current CBRF beds are very, very expensive, almost 10 times as much as our supported housing developments are. Our group feels that there's a lot of consumers that could use housing in between those levels, and we really haven't developed that yet. So in between the permanent supported housing apartment models we have and CBRFs, we could develop a step down from CBRFs to move folks in a lesser restrictive setting. And dramatically increase the amount of housing beds that we did if we downsized even 10% of our current group home beds. So I think I'll turn it over to Christina for the rest of that.
Good morning, Madam Chair and County Supervisors. And I just wanted to add to the housing piece that Jim just touched on is really without that housing piece, we can throw all the funds we want into crisis resources, but unless we have those housing supports once they're out of that crisis resource or crisis spot. Increased use of peer support. We recommend incorporating peer supports or peer specialists at all levels, and a peer specialist is an individual who is living with a mental illness and has gone through the recovery process. What we're seeing across the country really as far as programs that incorporate peer specialists is really a reduction in service refusals, which we saw was pretty large in the HSRI report. Promote better navigation of the system, as well as improve consumer satisfaction. BHD has done a great job of incorporating peer specialists, and that's something that we want to continue to see and really continue to see throughout all of our community providers. Along with that is really the education of the treatment teams. The role of the peer specialist within the care team should be well-defined and understood by all team members. And then lastly, we have a number of community-based peer support programs and models that are working well in the community. We really want to continue to enhance and expand on those services. Next, we recommend increasing community-based services for those with developmental disabilities. Here, we need to first focus on the expansion and enhancement of community-based services and supports necessary to facilitate responsible inpatient discharges. And again, here, these services should include more than just crisis services. Then we would call for the responsible downsizing of Hilltop. Lastly, our team hopes to see a decrease in the barriers to family care. We recommend establishing a work group consisting of the Family Care Managed Care Organizations, IRIS, and the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. This work group would streamline procedures for timely family care enrollment. We also recommend convening a work group, including the groups that I mentioned above, including DHHS. This group would explore funding options to develop accessible housing for those that are family care eligible.
Thank you. Thank you both. And next I want to welcome Scott Gelsler from the Faye McBeth Foundation and Leonora Rosas from UMass.
Good morning. It is an honor for me to be here today, and I wanted to let you know that our work group, our action team, did an excellent job of working through all of the reports and identifying the most important things that we would bring for your observation, for you as recommendations. The committee consisted of providers, of community advocates, community people, as well as psychiatrists and psychiatric nurses and people who really cared about the well-being. I think my most area of expertise was my bipolar son, who is my pride and joy. Our recommendations are to build a diverse workforce, beginning with hiring and recruitment, and that this workforce be reflective and sensitive to consumer population. And then one of our members says, whenever you say recruitment, say retention. So we need to maintain quality workforce professionals by providing professional development and retention incentives. And those incentives can be competitive compensation, ability for sabbaticals, exchange positions, different things that will be reflective of what the person needs to be able to continue providing such quality work. And then to improve hiring procedures to align with consumer and provider needs, that this should be more timely. Expand consumer-operated services, engagement of the consumers and the families in the services that are being provided. To utilize peer support throughout the system, expand peer specialists, training and certification programs, ensure consistency and high quality throughout regular training and evaluation, and to upgrade the compensation to align with the expanded role. We also recommend to partner with higher education. We also recommend partnering with higher educations to improve preparation, to promote behavioral health as a career path early on. Prepare licensed professionals for interdisciplinary teams. Provide clinical experience hours to students. And to update curricula to align with recovery principles, evidence-based practices, things that are working well, and inform educators on workforce supply, demand, and demand trends, and to involve them in the workforce supply and demand. Enhance the ability, training, and use of translators and interpreters, which are two different skill sets, but to enhance the ability and the training of translators and interpreters. We also recommend to seek to build and maintain cultural competency. And cultural competency does not just happen. It has to be cultivated and worked on and ongoing, because our community is ever-changing and ever-evolving. Reinforce person-centered and trauma-informed care in educational preparation and worksite training. Emphasize a culture of ongoing learning. And this is for all professionals and for all providers. It is lifelong learning. Create a standard set of skill requirements to work in behavioral health. Ensure that providers maintain standard skills. Provide or broker cross-training in mental health and disabilities at all levels of care. And to promote community engagement in workforce training and implementation, to cast a broad net of collaboration, to look at all the possible entities that could help us get the work done. And Scott, I ask if you have anything to add.
Good morning. I would just briefly say, building from the last point of promoting community engagement, that this action team took the perspective that we were not speaking about a particular workforce, say, with Milwaukee County. We're actually addressing the workforce that is needed in the community, in private providers, private settings, and at the county, to carry out the sorts of recommendations and the redesign that's envisioned. And with respect to the vision and recommendations and partnering with higher education, which the team spent some time on, I'd like to mention that the Faye McBeth Foundation, thanks to a boost from Paula Lucy and a number of other people in this room, has attracted a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant to this community to focus on improving the skills of the existing nursing workforce, as well as having an effect on the choosing of mental health as a career for future nurses. So there's a real opportunity for the county, private providers, and the private funding community to work together. Thanks very much.
Thank you both.
I want to thank everyone who's presented so far. The last team that met, and by design, they came together at the last moment, sort of, as the quality action team. They came together towards the end because obviously things needed to be decided first. This vision needed to be articulated before we can decide how to design the quality measurements for the redesigned system. Karen Avery from Independence First and Henry Knaff from Phoenix Care Systems very capably co-chaired that team through three or four meetings. They were unable to join us today. I'll let that report speak for itself, and that team has a lot of work ahead of it in the coming year, and we'll get some good assistance, I think, from HSRI as well at the upcoming summit.
Thank you all, and thanks for our co-chairs for taking time to come. What I wanted to share with you is a little bit about our next steps. We will be having a Mental Health and Redesign Implementation Task Force Summit
on February 14th at CERB Hall, and we are going to have an expanded version of this report, as well as having a speaker from HSRI to talk about what are some of the national trends and what and give some reaction to our activities. And we're seeking a national speaker on consumer, who is a consumer, on consumer involvement. So I think that should be a very exciting day. I wanted to say just a couple things and then turn over to my co-chair. First off, I wanted to point out that the 2012 budget initiatives are consistent with these recommendations. We've been working sort of hand-in-hand, leapfrogging along here, and so we do believe that we have resources to achieve many of these recommendations within this year. Secondly, I had the opportunity, thanks to Supervisor Jerzyk, to speak to the Long Range Strategic Planning Committee. And one of the points I wanted to make to them was that the new BHD is not a revolution. It's not going to be one day we wake up and say, ah, here's the new BHD. Instead, it is an evolution. And every day there is a new BHD. And some of you that came and many of you that, and all of you that supported the new Women's Treatment Unit, that's a great example. That was something we could have a ribbon cutting for. But the things that happen every day in terms of how we're improving our programming, how we're working with staff education, how we're moving towards our accreditation, all of those things are creating the new BHD. And it's hopefully you'll be able to wake up someday and say, ah, it is a new BHD. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, I guess I would just comment that I've been involved in mental health care for going on 25 years now, and I've never been involved in anything in my life that's so much two steps forward, one step back. And I really see this as this is a huge project, very complicated, with a ton of information. And I would just want to compliment all of the folks that have donated their time to be on part of one of these action teams. There has been so much work that has been sifted through, gone over, sorted out, and just having been involved in various aspects for so long, you can see all of these things that have, brought on, they have grown into the problems they are today from 15 and 20 years ago. And it feels like for the first time we've got a group of people working on this project in a large enough way and have it organized in a way that really does give us the right direction. So I think where we're at today is a tremendous improvement from where we have been at. But I feel like, despite a lot of negativity, there have been a lot of improvements over the last 5 years that we are just continuing to, work on, because this will be a long-term sort of a thing. But in my opinion, we have gotten to a great point, and I didn't know that we would get to this point when we first sat down and started looking at all of the information and where we needed to get to. So, my compliments to Paula, to David, to everybody that's donated their time to be on this committee. I feel like we're making tremendous progress, and if we can sustain this, I really truly feel like we can make a difference in the mental health system in Milwaukee County. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to ask Mr. Carlson if he's going to be able to stay for item 12, which talks about capacity of providers in the community. And often when we had that discussion here, we referenced different viewpoints on what we think the capacity is or what we think the response is, and the fact that you're here might be able to provide some a face and a specific kind of response to some of those issues, because there's a survey that we're going over, but it doesn't, I don't know who's responding how on that survey, and I'd be interested in your viewpoint as head of Aurora's Mental Health Services on what you think the state is and the state of this is here in Milwaukee County, and where you're going as an institution, particularly across the street, and what we've heard, maybe the evolution of science. So. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, could I speak? I wanted to say, Supervisor Lipscomb, Mr. Carlson not probably seen item 12, which is the report on our RFI, and so just to give you that background, that he probably hasn't studied that, but I would just say that we've had many evolutionary discussions with Aurora Psych and with Rogers and St. Francis and other providers in the community, where, you know, 5 years ago, or actually 7 years ago when I left, we transferred very few individuals to other hospitals. Now, out of PCS, we transfer about 30% of clients to other places. And so I think, I'll certainly let Mr. Carlson speak, but I think this is another evolutionary kind of approach where we will continue to see that kind of willingness and partnership.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I do see the change in the private sector to, you know, be much more part of what's going on, particularly with the emergency detention population. So from my point of view, we're heading in the right direction, and we have been for a period of time now. It's been probably 5-6 years that we've been doing that. And you know, I just feel like all of us in the private side of this have gotten much better at working with this population of patients. I feel like we've gotten much better at, you know, just collaborating with BHD and how we work with the patients and move them around and get them to the place that they need to be. You know, how we work with the emergency departments to move patients from facility to facility. You know, I think the crisis mobile intervention people that have come on board have just been a huge asset. So again, as someone who's kind of lived in this for 25 years, I see where we are today, and I know that we've made tremendous progress. And not that there isn't a ton of work to do, because there is, but we've come a long ways.
Madam Chair, I didn't mean to get ahead of us on the items, but I just thought it may be an opportunity if you are able to stay, just because, you know, my perspective, well, I sort of have a perspective that I've grown into based on what I've heard from other people, because I'm relying on the expertise of everyone who comes and talks to me on these issues, and to have a provider able to maybe give us some.
Actually, I've got a board meeting back at the hospital at noon, but
maybe it won't work.
Happy to talk to you about it some other time.
All right, appreciate it.
Okay, and just so you're aware, the RFI is the report that'll be in front of us. And item number 12 has been discussed at the mental health redesign, and Mr. Carlson was there, and he did give his feedback, and I'm sure that Ms. Lucy will share any of that she deems necessary during that report. So, but he is very aware of the RFIs and what was returned to us. Okay, I'm going to do Supervisor Harris, Chair Smith, and Rice.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I just want to applaud the individuals that came up and shared some of what they were doing, but I have to say, and I will continue to beat a dead horse until I can't beat it anymore, but I would also like to see, when I say I want to see more diversity, I'm talking about within this work group and task force, and obviously I can't read by the names who's a person of color and who isn't. However, I would have liked to see some of those individuals come forth today and report out to the committee. I, as you are aware, I am having I'm collaborating with Alverno College on February 4th, doing an African American summit, mental health summit, that is a charge from my leadership as a national chairwoman of the NABIO organization, which I won't say what the whole title is, that's an acronym. And so I'm really excited about it, but I can tell you the list of names that we've come up with people of color that are clinicians is phenomenal. So I know that there are people out there that would be glad to work on this issue and would be like, you know, would like to be asked to come to the table on this. Another thing that I'm learning as I do this summit and working with Alverno College, obviously I'm working with, you know, scholars and people who've done research and so on and so forth. And one of the things that I'm learning, which I'm not sure if we are aware of, and we could be, and I just could have overlooked it or something of that nature, but this whole community health, mental health, going into the communities and having what we're talking about now is nothing new. However, it hasn't worked in the past, and I'm just curious how we're going to make it work now. And it seems like we're talking about it as it's a new phenomenon, but it's not. So as we're in these task forces and we're talking about these new initiatives, what are we doing to make sure that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or whatever I'm trying to say? Anyway, my thoughts are
right.
But you get what I'm saying. We're not basically trying to do something new, but we've done it before, but it's just something that we need to make sure it's done better.
I think Supervisors, first off, I want to thank you for your leadership in having that summit, and members of my staff will be attending, and I'm going to attend myself, and that I think that'll be an excellent opportunity for us to recruit some members to be on our action teams. We're looking forward to that opportunity, and I would tell you that the executive team spent a lot of time and a lot of discussion trying to improve the diversity. And we asked some people that chose not to participate, and maybe there's some, you know, fatigue of participating in things, because I know there's been meetings and not much action, but we're definitely moving to the second phase in terms of implementation, looking to, again, address that issue. I don't know, Pete, if you wanted to...
I just want to reiterate, too, that at this committee meeting, I have asked numerous times to please, if you have the names of people... that can help provide that diversity, to please get those names to Mr. Johnson or to Ms. Lucy, and they're happy to send out the invitation. I actually had the honor of adding Ms. De La Rosa to the Workforce Development Subcommittee, and she signed up to be one of the chairs, because not only is she a woman of color, but she's also the parent of dual diagnosis, a child with dual diagnosis. Well, he's not a child, he's an adult, but he's still her baby. and so, you know, we're definitely, I think that's one of the things that we've been real open about, is the fact that we do need more diversity. So if you have those names of people that you think, or people have expressed interest, then by all means, if you're interested, by all means, please get those names to Ms. Lucy. Because I hate for the subcommittees to get, or the committee to get beat up for that, because there has been a lot of attempts made. And in some cases, we had, you know, consumers of color that were participating that are no longer participating, and we're, you know, kind of trying to figure out what happened there and why that is. And so we have really worked at it and have not been 100% successful, but... We're still working at it. So please, again, get those names, because the work is not done by any means.
And if I could, Supervisor, to your second point, I think, I was actually involved in the first iteration of this kind of redesign. I represented the Doyne Hospital on that activity. I know, I've been here a long time. And... I think that we learned some things. I think first off, you know, as you might recall, some people might recall, the mental health hospital used to be a 900-bed hospital, now down to 100, now down to 250. So things have worked tremendously in terms of moving people into the community. One of the things that didn't work as well as we're hoping it will work this time, and then we feel very great support and commitment from the county board and the county exec, is that the money did not follow the clients. And so we need to be very strong and very consistent about making sure the money, if you save money from downsizing, you've got to move that into community services. And that's been one of the issues in other places where they've attempted to do this, is that the money just gets taken up as savings, yay, without being moved into creating that infrastructure net that keeps that individual in recovery in the community. So that's, I think, one of the key issues. Another issue is the development of sufficient services, and that's another issue, as you've heard from our groups, that we're very interested in making sure to occur.
Yeah, and it does sound like it. I really like the peer mentoring, someone
yes.
who is recovering or have recovered from receiving the services that they needed, which I think would be very helpful. And the housing, that was very promising to me. And if we can make that work, I can see this community-based healthcare working much better for our clients. So I was really pleased to hear that. Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey.
I have two thoughts. First one, Ms. Lucy indicated that she had made a report to strategic planning, and I can tell you the long-range strategic planning committee was very satisfied with the overall report. We didn't get this in depth, and the chairman really wanted to preserve this for health and human needs. I can tell you long-range strategic planning chose to just let health and human needs handle this issue. We basically thanked Ms. Lucy for her report. Rob Hank, in particular, was very happy with the direction that we are going, and complimented Ms. Lucy on the task force and the kind of work that's been done. So I just want to let the committee know that basically strategic planning is going to no longer move in the direction, even though this was identified as a major source in terms of the structural deficit in our budget. We are going to basically let health and human needs really move this. And that gets me to the next point, which is the structural deficit. And this area was identified as a major area contributing to the structural deficit. And we all understand and we all know that to really address the issue, we needed to develop the resources and have put more money into this budget by $3 million in the last budget. But I get to the question as I'm listening, the continuum of care, the informed choices, et cetera, those areas can all be addressed perhaps by putting more money into a system. And I continue to get concerned about when do we start looking at the dollars that will be needed to address this, because there is finite resources, particularly within the Milwaukee County budget with regard to property tax dollars. And, you know, Milwaukee County is the only county that has its own standalone mental health hospital. And in order to address this revolving door that was identified, we understand that we need to address the community supports. But what I get very concerned about is as the hospital systems start to build more hospitals outside the county, as they have been doing, that we are going to become the magnet as we expand and improve the resources for this kind of avoidance of using our mental health hospital to house all of these concerns. And I think we're doing a good job and we're heading in the right direction. But I'm very concerned that if we're the only county that has had a mental health hospital and we start to develop all of these community resources, we are also going to be the only county that has the kind of extended resources that the outside community is are going to experience and want. So I'm very concerned about that. I'd like to know how we address that. I'm going to be very concerned about the issue of looking at the RFI, and I won't get into all that. But I'd like to hear the response on where are we with regard to addressing that structural deficit and the finite resources that we really have available. The one opportunity we have with family care is, you're right, following having the money follow the patient. And family care in some way gives us the ability to do that. And if we do it correctly and if we do it smartly, we can build up these resources. But I don't want to build the housing for the entire region because the rest of the counties around us aren't addressing this. And they don't have the mental health facility within their communities that has caused an impetus for Milwaukee County to do this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And if I could have, if Ms. Lucy wants to try to address it, I know it's a big picture issue.
Well, I guess I would say a couple of things. One is that it is clear that there is a point in time, which is the point where we're at, that the money needs to follow the patient. Long term, I believe that at the very least, the cost will even out and, in fact, perhaps go down somewhat. Because clearly an inpatient admission is a very expensive proposition. And to any of those that we can prevent or any of the days in the hospital that we can prevent is improvement for the patient, it's improvement for the system, and it's cheaper. And so we need to look at that as a very precious resource and decrease that. Secondly, I think you've sort of teed up the presentation, which will be item number 7, which is a review of wraparound. And I think wraparound is a perfect example of how they have moved their activities into the community community support programs, and they continue to see decreasing costs and being able to serve people with the same amount of money and blah, blah, blah. And I think, I think from that presentation, we get a very different perspective of how it is possible to achieve this. And I don't know what, I really honestly don't know what to say about the regional issues. I think that every county struggles with the needs of the clients that are in front of them.
Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would add my voice to those of my colleagues in thanking the task force for its work and for all of the individuals and entities that have been involved to this point. I particularly appreciate what I heard at the outset in terms of the structure of these groups and the action team orientation. And I've come, I think, in the process of listening to these reports to a better appreciation of the complexity of the issues involved and appreciate your comments, Ms. Lucy, about the evolutionary process we're involved with. And so my comments shouldn't be interpreted in any way as anything other than perhaps a little bit of impatience and a desire for us to move forward. And that's why in the conclusion I was looking for something a little bit more expansive than the summit concept in terms of what the vision is for the implementation pathway and how we move this forward in terms of policy orientation and facility issues and employee mobilization and those sorts of issues. And so I wonder if you could just expand a little bit on your comments and the report to give us a little better flavor for, where we go, when we might be seeing some, tangible, actionable recommendations for action by the county board.
I would say, and perhaps was in interest of time, was not expansive enough as it relates to the summit. What we have asked HSRI to do is to come for 3 days and to spend time with each of the action teams in developing that implementation plan and to put together some timetabling for us. And so that would be our next step that will occur from that work in February. And we can come back in March with a report about that, or April, whenever up to the chair. So I think I don't know if that answers your question, Supervisor Rice, but that's the next step. And I appreciate that I didn't expand to say that really the action teams are anxious to move forward to their next steps. They've already begun to talk about how will we make this happen, and the work that we'll be doing with HSRI, who created some recommendations, will help us to create that implementation plan. And I also would say that again, all of these, many of these recommendations are very consistent with our 2012 budget initiatives. And so things like our discharge planning group, our class, we're in the process of working on that, RSP, and so we have a number of those initiatives are already sort of going along. So it's kind of all blended together.
Mm-hmm. So fiscal year 12, just a general idea about when this might be coming. And I appreciate, again, the complexity of it and that we'll be getting consultant advice on specific timetable. But generally, what is anticipated for a final report or some recommendations for action?
I would say it this way, Supervisor Rice, if I might. I think that 2013 budget discussions will be very different than the 2012 budget discussions, and I would say that I am hopeful that sometime in December of 2012, people will say, this is really a very different system than what we had at the beginning of the year. And I think, as I said, I don't think there's a sort of end point, and I don't think there's a beginning point. I think it is really very evolutionary.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you. I might not be in the room, but I was paying attention.
So I'm sure.
I want to come back to two things that you, actually three. First, I want to thank everyone for coming and being here. and because your service to Milwaukee County residents, especially through mental health, is very important to our to myself and to a number of other people. Because I have a family, a couple of family members who they haven't used the facility before. Let's go to the community-based service. Even though you say follow the money with the customer, but they also the service have to follow on for that, as you go, you alluded to the wraparound program. We have one community-based service that we have the project right now, 25th and Clark. I think that's 25th and North Avenue is a church combination that we have all the wraparound, the money follow the client, and also they have support service there to have that person integrate back into the community. Is that one of the project models that you are looking at? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know that particular
I would
program.
Get that church.
Supervisor.
And it's dealing with a church to build a thing. About 3 years ago, we have some housing funding, so it's going to that program too. So that's one thing that is working within the community right
certainly,
now.
Certainly learn more about that, Supervisor.
Okay. The other one that I'm talking I want to know about, how many private and partnerships are we looking at? Because even though we had Doran House Builders, and I did not vote to close Doran House Builders, let's make that very clear because I thought it was very important for the institute here. How can we bring that same concept? And are we looking at Title $19 dollars to fund this? And also, when we look at the private partnership, are we looking to have them bring some money to the table, or are we just looking at the RFP process? And so everybody try to get the little piece of it, because that would not mention that all either.
Madam Chair, I think that funding of the services is extraordinarily complex. But it is our goal to make sure that everyone is receiving all of their entitlements, and so that we can find as much funding as possible for everyone. And we work on that rather consistently. We know that there are clients that are Title 19 clients that do not get we do not get zero reimbursement for in the hospital, but we could get reimbursement for them in community services. So yes, I think the answer to your question is yes. We do believe that we will be able to pull down additional Title 19 funding for some of those services in the community, and if we make good use of those services, it should decrease our expense where there is no funding.
And second of all, this presentation, can you make sure that all 19 individuals, I didn't have that in my packet, and I know that was more detailed than what the information you gave us in the packet.
Yes, sir.
All the supervisors should be able to see that, please.
Certainly. It Thank is a summary of the reports from all the other, but we'll certainly send it.
Right, but it's not the same one
yes,
that's
sir.
In here.
Yes, sir.
And I think that would, in here, give a highlight.
Yep.
It don't talk about all the other things that you have, but here it gives a little bit more detail
yes,
and
sir.
A glance of what we look at, what are you trying to do in front of us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else?
And make sure we have diversity.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
We have time. I do have one more card from Barbara Beckert.
Not here, see?
Good morning, Ms. Becker.
Good morning, Supervisor West. Thank you, and thank you, Supervisors. I commend everything that's been shared with you and appreciate your support for that. I was a member of the Executive Committee, and, I think that this has been a great collaborative effort, and, I value your comments about the diversity. I share that wish to have a more diverse group at the table, and we very much value your partnership in working on that, and it isn't for lack of trying. So let's keep talking and seeing how we can do better. What I wanted to specifically address were some of the comments that Supervisor Jurczyk made about, community-based services in other counties, and I just wanted to point out to you that many of the other counties, including counties that are adjacent to Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, Washington County, and Kenosha, among others, have done more in community-based services, and specifically some of the things that Milwaukee County has not moved ahead with, CCS, Combined Community Services, and the 1915I, because of our concern about entitlement other counties have moved forward with those. So they have been able to leverage federal Medicaid dollars to offer more services in the community. At this point, Secretary Smith is moving forward with looking at another option for bringing in community-based mental health service funding called 1937, another one of these numbers, but that would not be an entitlement. So my hope would be that we'll be able to come back to you with some other opportunities to bring in federal funding, and that people with mental illness in Milwaukee County will not continue to be unable to benefit from these wonderful recovery-oriented community-based systems that bring in federal Medicaid dollars that our surrounding counties have benefited from. So, you know, let's keep talking about that. I think that there will be some opportunities there. And, again, I think that's one of the reasons why bringing in a group like HSRI, again, is so important, because they're folks who really know Medicaid very well, and they've worked with urban areas all over the country that face similar challenges to what we're dealing with here. How do you transition in a planful way from a system that is primarily crisis and inpatient-based to a system that still has those services available but puts a reliance on the community-based services, so you only need to go to the emergency room as an exception rather than that being the only service that's offered? So, you know, I commend the leadership for making the decision to bring them back in. I really think that having that kind of technical expertise to guide us in the process will be very important. And Supervisor Rice, you know, I think we all share your sense that we're eager to move forward and to see change and to see better opportunities for people and, you know, more effective use of our dollars in the community. So thank you all for your support, and you know, I think again that some of those additional Medicaid programs are going to give us some opportunities to bring in more funding for community-based supports.
Chair?
Supervisor Mayo and Supervisor Joseph.
Ms. Becker, thank you, Madam Chair. Even though that they have that
1915I and CCS.
When they made that entitlement for Waukesha or Ozaukee County, how are they did not advertise that? One of the concerns that we had is if a person from Waukesha came to Milwaukee County, that we would have to provide that services. You just informed us about that, so we can actually send some of our patients out there right quick.
And we actually have some clients who've moved to Waukesha County, just so you know, from Milwaukee County, because of some of those services, and also have received housing there. So, so there is some back and forth that does go on.
Yeah, it's very limited housing there, so they have to really look for those housing for within those two counties.
Yeah.
And they was fortunate to get into that program. And we have a lot of housing here that they would get in those programs. Because you're a very good advocate, but a lot of people didn't know that they even implement those programs so they could get that funding. And that was a concern of mine during the budget process, of people just moving into Milwaukee County and overstraining our system real quick. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate
it.
I had some of those similar concerns. We were on the finance committee when all that discussion took place. I appreciate Ms. Becker's perspective. As in your position, you get this bigger picture, and it almost seems like just the opposite of what I was talking about. Perhaps the fact that we ran this mental health hospital has held us back from doing the community services, unlike the surrounding communities who perhaps were more ready to go into the community services, and I see you're kind of agreeing with that. And the other the other point you made up on 1937, I'm not familiar with that program, and I'm wondering if you could share some information with us. Is 1937 basically an entitlement program?
No, Supervisor Jerzyk. What Supervisor Smith liked this program for a couple reasons. First of all, there isn't a requirement for statewideness. And secondly, it's not an entitlement, so you can have waiting lists. Of course, as an advocate, you know, I don't like waiting lists. I don't think waiting lists are a good thing, but I've also seen how Milwaukee County hasn't been able to benefit people with mental illness in our community have been left behind because of our fear of entitlements. So, you know, I do see that it would be advantageous. Well, the point that they're at right now is they need to move forward with getting approval from CMS and doing a state plan amendment. And one of the reasons I think that they are moving forward with this is because they actually got some pushback from CMS, because when they move forward with 1915I, one of the requirements was that it be statewide. That means, you know, that you'd have a plan for moving to all 72 counties. And you know, it was looking as though that was not going to happen, and apparently CMS is, you know, holding states to a higher standard than perhaps they've done in the past with other programs. CSP, for example, which we currently have, and I think I've reminded you before, that is a program that is an entitlement. So CMS could come in here and say, you know, you're not serving everyone who's eligible for CSP, but frankly, they haven't done much to monitor that. As an advocate, you know, I'd like to see them do more of that because I think a lot more people are eligible than are currently being served, and some counties actually have illegal waiting lists, which they're not allowed to have for that program. So that's a little bit of the backstory. So it's still a work in progress, but, you know, absolutely we will be sharing that with you. And I think, you know, BHD has just made an addition to their staff, a new person who has previously worked at the state who's going to be coming on board in February in the community services area. And it's my expectation, you know, that she'll be a good resource and bring some of that knowledge and some good relationships there as well.
Great. So if I'm understanding correctly, the 1937 is somewhat like the 1915 I program.
Correct.
With some of these changes.
Yes. So the service array that was being proposed was similar. So it included supportive employment, psychosocial rehab, peer support, and other related services.
Thank you.
So.
Ms. Becker, you don't have to say the counties, but are the counties that have illegal waiting lists, are there neighboring Milwaukee County?
My understanding is that they are not. I am not aware of that. We serve all of southeastern Wisconsin, so they would be hearing from DRW if that were the case, from our office. But I've heard from my colleagues in other parts of the state that has been the practice.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. Is there any other comments or questions on item number 10? Seeing none, I want to thank everybody again who came for item number 10, for all of the committee members from the Mental Health Redesign Committee, the subcommittee members. When we have our meetings, that room is very, very full. But it's always the same people, so they're very committed. And we're very appreciative of that. I also want to thank again David Johnson for all of the work that he's done in keeping us all together and all of our balls in the air. And he's phenomenal. We are very lucky to catch him. So, moving on. Item number 7.